My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We're both surprised by some news during the break. According to Tom Pelissero, the Steelers plan to give Russell Wilson first-team reps in practice this week, putting him in line to make his season debut and start Sunday night against the Jets.
Excuse me?
Remember, Pittsburgh is 4-2, and I'm not here to tell you that Justin Fields is great. But also, Justin Fields hasn't thrown a pick in 3 weeks. He had 2 rushing touchdowns. He's got 5 touchdowns, 1 interception on the year in the air. They're winning with their defense. We all have acknowledged that. I don't think Justin Fields is a long-term answer. Russell Wilson, I don't understand this. The team has momentum.
What's going on here?
The team is rolling. Why would you even mess with this right now? Wait till Fields has a bad week or two. You can wait because you're 4-2 right now.
I don't get this at all. They scored over 30 points last week. It's the best the offense has looked all season. And I, albeit against a bad Raiders team, it's fine. Some of those were certainly defensive. They lost 2 before that. So I guess the argument would be, well, they lost to the Cowboys and they lost to the Colts when they shouldn't have. Okay, I guess, but they've won more games than they've lost by double. Justin Fields has played better over the last 3 weeks. No turnovers, 7 touchdowns, some yardage to go with it, and you're entering a part of the schedule that is at least Jets at home, Giants at home, that feels like a pretty good chance to get some more wins. What are the Steelers doing? And I would not ask that of the Steelers very often, but what are the Steelers doing with this one?
Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, it definitely is, especially their offensive line has had some issues. And of course, Fields gives you at least the mobility if the play breaks down. Yeah. You don't have that with Russell Wilson. He's not 23 years old anymore back when he was able to do that. He's not mobile anymore.
I guess the argument that the other part of this is, and I get it, they saw him in training camp or they saw him all offseason. I'll be honest, last time I watched Russell Wilson play football, he didn't look all that good. And I'm not saying Justin Fields has looked like a world beater, but he's looked as good as the last time I watched Russell Wilson play. What is the advantage in giving away the first team snaps for a team that is currently in first place in their division? This is another time where, and I get it, it's not the same as benching the quarterback, like, you know, firing the coach, like we talked about with the Jets to do it. But you're in first place. The quarterback who started for you all season is in first place and playing at least mediocre football. What the hell are you doing?
Broncos fans, thank you guys so much for coming out. I'm excited to play in Power Field. It's going to be amazing. You know what to do. And go Broncos. You know, and Broncos country, let's ride.
What's his Steelers thing? Do we know?
That was Russell Wilson?
Do we know his...
That was Russell
do
Wilson.
We know his...
Here comes the airplane.
Do we know? Yeah, but do we know his Steelers thing? Like, what's his... Let's ride was in Denver. Do we know if he's got a Steeler? Like,
What's their hashtag? Because let's ride is the hashtag for the Broncos. I believe.
I don't know. Steelers hashtag.
Steel Curtain, which obviously is not his
side.
He'll
come up with some like cheesy like iron sharpens iron type of thing. It's going to be like, you know, it's going to be something like that. Like
steel don't bend. And you're like, what? No, that nobody said that before, Russ. Nobody needs this in our lives.
Russell Wilson, I think this is definitely true.
I got to be honest. I think it's a stupid decision. I would not say that about Mike Tomlin very often. The only way this doesn't make a stupid decision is he has watched both these guys and he is. And I've told you this from the beginning. Mike Tomlin, Drew, I think maybe it was like maybe 3 weeks ago, you had said this during an All 32, like that they should just stick with Justin Fields forever. Mike Tomlin, I think this is inarguable. Mike Tomlin clearly thinks Russell Wilson is the more talented quarterback. Not just kind of thinks it, is convinced. There is no other reason you can make this argument. Mike Tomlin is convinced Russell Wilson is a significantly better option at quarterback than Justin Fields. There's no other way that this makes sense. Because if they're on par, then you just start Justin Fields. Now what, Justin Fields got asked to get traded?
Here comes the airplane.
This is the big stretch for them, though, because they end the season.
Chiefs, and
they end the season Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals.
Yikes.
Right now, they have the Jets, the Giants, the Commanders before they play the Ravens and Browns and Bengals. So, like, if they're going to gap themselves or try to get themselves into position before they get to that tough stretch, you got to beat the Jets, you got to beat the Giants, and then that gets you to six, try to get to seven. I don't know if Russell Wilson gives you that much more to do it. Maybe because they're not playing quote unquote good teams. It helps.
Someone said, Russell Wilson, let's weld.
let's weld. Oh, my goodness.
That's good.
I mean, are we going to find out on Friday where they're not going to name a starter, and then Sunday we're going to see both them get snaps?
That's
like,
worse.
I know, but that's where this feels like. It feels like that's where this is trending, that Russell Wilson's going to play, but Justin Fields will be in there as well because of his mobility.
I think, too, if we get to Friday and they're like, you know what, we're going to stay with Justin this week, that means Russell Wilson shouldn't start the rest of the year. He should not play, because if he's getting first team reps and you're still saying, yeah, we're going to Justin, you've wasted
first team reps.
Right. But I think there's no way that if he gets first team reps this week and practices that way and still isn't the starter, that he's ever going to be ready to do that unless Justin Fields just falls apart.
Justin Fields, do you see enough from this year? Do you think he'd get a starting job somewhere else next season? You think he'd like start for the Panthers after they draft a quarterback or something? I think Justin Fields would be a backup for a team that's not really sure about their quarterback. I think that's
the Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like a team who's not really sure about their quarterback and kind of wants the like guy who does it for a little bit. Well, or maybe just starts ahead of a rookie quarterback until he is eventually benched for one. But I don't get it.
I mean, of the teams that stink, Tennessee, maybe. Does he go to Tennessee? The Browns aren't doing anything.
Great news is that Russell Wilson starting again does provide the opportunity for more content. So.
Unlimited diarrhea. Mm-hmm.
That's right, Russ. That is right.
There, I did not realize that he said this.
Oh, we've got a ton of
things.
Are you only now learning about Russell Wilson drops?
I like Russell Wilson.
You weren't here yet when he got traded from Seattle to Denver, and immediately...
That's where all those drops are from.
Those are all those drops.
Jeez.
There was also him on, what was it, one of the daytime talk shows talking about Sierra.
Have sex with his wife, essentially.
Like begging her on television to have another child together.
That made me pretty uncomfortable, honestly. As I recall, it made me very uncomfortable. It was back in like 2022.
I don't know, super...
Here it is. You ready?
It's labeled Russell Wilson is horny. That's how it's labeled in the system. Uh-huh.
Let's hear it.
The whole thing? It's 50.
Yeah, sure. Who cares?
Okay, all right, why not? Uh-huh.
So this is fun. I get to be on set with you.
Yes.
We're going to have a little fun today, huh?
Yes. So, guys, the funny thing is that Russ makes me really nervous.
I do.
So, yes, you do. For some reason, I don't know. I mean, I kind of know why, but I don't know. I always feel so vulnerable when I'm with you in this setting. But
well, I do know everything about you, first of all. And second of all, I'm going to make you more nervous right now. You guys want me to make her more nervous?
No, we don't. No, why?
The crowd amped him up.
I have a question for you.
What?
Serious question.
No, what is going on?
Can we have more babies?
Oh, no.
I mean, it would be perfect. Just give me one more at least, you know what I mean?
Is that a yes? We definitely can't. We got a little time before we get there.
Oh, come on.
Will you have sex with me? Why are you asking that to everybody in front of national TV
audience? It didn't help, though. The audience was like, yeah, please. Please make it more uncomfortable.
What show was he on? Was it like Ellen or something?
Yeah, or Kelly Clarkson show or something. It was just some sort of daytime talk show. His wife was the guest host at that time. So she was the host.
She was having him on as a guest.
That's why. That probably explains it better. All right, let's get back to the Chiefs. We spent enough time talking about Russell Wilson and the Steelers' bad decision. You know, this weekend, we always talk about like post-bye week adjustments. You know what I'd love to see? The adjustment for covering tight ends. It is the only part of the defense where they have consistently been picked on. And George Kittle's coming to town. And not just George Kittle's coming to town. Playing his best football. I don't know. I have him in a couple of fantasy leagues, so maybe I've been paying more attention. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. George Kittle's been on fire. He's been beating up on teams. He's been getting in the end zone regularly. He has been one of the best tight ends in the league. 5 catches, 58 yards last week, 2 scores, 8 for 64, a touchdown in the game before. He's been in the end zone for 4 straight games. He's had it about 65 yards on average during that stretch. He's having a really nice year, and the Chiefs have not been good against tight ends. I view this as the first test of, can you technically fix the issues in covering tight ends, or are you just conceding that is the weakness of your defense?
Well, we know the self-scout during the bye week. I'm sure that they are well aware, even before this week, of the success that tight ends have had against this football team. But, man, I'll be honest, like, if that's the Achilles heel, we say, man, all year tight ends got the best of them. I'll take it. You know what I mean? We just got done discussing how you already think they're better than last year's defense. I think there's a chance they could get there. You know, they certainly are off to a better start. But here's what they've done against number one wide receivers, which to me is actually more important. Chris Olave, 2 catches for 10 yards. Ladd McConkey, I guess if we want to call him the Chargers number one, 5 catches for 67. Zay Flowers, 6 for 37. And then Jamar Chase, 4 catches, just 35 yards. All those guys have gone on to have bigger performances, to say the least, against other opponents, sometimes the very next week. So if you tell me the trade-off of, oh, they're shutting down tight ends, but the number one wide receivers are getting them, or, hey, occasionally the tight end is getting 80, 90 yards a game, but they're shutting down number one wide receivers, I'll always take shutting down the guy like a Jamar Chase who can take 185 yards versus a tight end that's going to pick up 25 at a time occasionally.
Is it enough to look at, I think if you're playing, who are you going to play in like the AFC title game or the Super Bowl if they have, like, because you...
Well, the Ravens, Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews are pretty good.
I was going to say, and then we'll see how the Texans do with Dalton Schultz. The Bills have Dalton Kincaid. You've got the you just mentioned Kittle with the Niners. Does that impact your thoughts on anything? Where you like Chris Olave, the Saints didn't really have a tight end like that. The Bengals have Mike Gesicki. Obviously, they're not in that position necessarily to where they're going to contend, at least at this point, and you can say with comfort. Does that concern you at all that, hey, they might have to face the Ravens again, who tore them up pretty good with Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews? Does that make it more concerning, even though they shut down Zay Flowers, that they have to face those guys?
I'm more concerned about shutting down the top rushing offense in football, the Ravens, with Derrick Henry and Lamar, and that, for the most part, they had a good game plan against Derrick Henry. Like, that, to me, can wreck your team more than... We just saw it. I mean, the Ravens obviously were very close to winning that football game here at Arrowhead, but Isaiah Likely had a great game, and it's much tougher for Isaiah Likely, in my opinion, to beat you than it is to let Lamar Jackson or Zay Flowers
or Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. I guess I'm just saying, like, I'll pick my poison always, and I'll choose the tight end. We all know here in Kansas City, Travis Kelce has won them game after game after game. But with all due respect to some of these other ties we've mentioned, none of them are Travis Kelce.
No, but each of those teams that they would face, to Drew's question, is... 3 of those 4 teams have 2 good tight ends, which means matchup-wise, there is a bit of an issue down the road, right? As in, the Ravens have 2 good tight ends, Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews. I think the Bills have 2 good tight ends in Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. I'm not saying they're superstars, but 2 good, and honestly, it hasn't mattered the level of tight end. Hell, whatever the name of that, like, Eric Old Jr. guy had a nice game against the Chiefs for Cincinnati. The no-name tight ends. Gesicki, we were like, he's not the athlete as the last guy, and he still tore apart Kansas City a little bit from that end. So some of them do have multiple tight ends. I just kind of view this as, did you make an adjustment so that it's not 8 for 110 every week? If it is, you're right. I'll probably still accept and trade my poison for the... No number one running back has gotten them. No number one wide receiver has gotten them. And that will probably remain. But if you can just, like, mitigate it some, I'm not saying nobody's ever going to make a catch against you. Mitigate it a little bit less than you've been doing so far.
Yeah, I mean, this Sunday, They're going to go up against Debo and Ayuk and maybe Jordan Mason. Like, you know, you have these other weapons. That's what, you know, luckily there's no Christian McCaffrey, because that's why the Niners have been so challenging for every team. Because who are you going to actually focus your attention on, because they have so many weapons? Not having McCaffrey makes them a little bit easier to go up against. But yeah, I mean, George Kittle probably is going to get his throughout the game. I think the bigger problem is, hey, in the red zone, are you shutting down Kittle in the red zone? Let him get all the yards he wants. Are you in the red zone?
Don't
are you able to actually shut him down?
And that's where nobody's been able to do it. As I told you, he's got four touchdowns in his last three games, or five touchdowns in his last four and three in his last two, because he had two last week. You know what's funny is the Chiefs haven't even let up the most yardage to tight end. You know who have? The Ravens. The Ravens pass defense, which has been sketchy at best probably this season, they're number one. The 49ers have allowed the fifth most. So it's not like their opponent hasn't been, if you're looking at Travis Kelce totals, if they're still low, as they were for that other stretch.
So Kelce and Kittle overs on Sunday afternoon.
These are two teams who can't guard the tight end and two teams that can stop the run. The 49ers and the Chiefs are two of the top five teams at stopping the run, so those are going to be harder to come by, and two of the worst teams at stopping tight ends. So, yeah, maybe if you're going to make me play some wagers this weekend, I might head that way.
I'm just excited to see what's the wrinkle adjustment offensively, too, for Kansas City after a bye. We know the first drive against New Orleans, they had a balanced attack. They ran the ball with Kareem Hunt, and then, what, all three tight ends caught the ball in the opening drive, something like that. So I'm curious, out of the gate against San Francisco, what's that first 10, first 15 scripted look like? Is it going to be run heavy again, or are we going to actually see them? Yeah, are we going to see them
take a shot,
or all of a sudden we're going to be talking about all the wide receivers caught passes throughout the entire drive and they spread it around? I mean, you know, Andy
Reid's
self-scout.
This feels like one of
those
two drives, eight guys have caught a pass,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Through Patrick Mahomes has 10 points through two drives. He's completed a pass to Worthy, Watson, two running backs.
Noah Gray.
And it's like, oh, he's eight guys already? There are even eight guys in this roster to throw the ball to? He's found eight of them. He has Andy and Patrick Mahomes have about two, three games like that a year where the first couple of drives you're like, damn, there's not a single person they're throwing it to, just one. They are hitting every single receiver. And we talked about this on Monday. Andy's kind of at Kyle Shanahan's number.
One in a row.
I still think Kyle Shanahan is one of the best coaches in the league. If you made me redraft all the coaches available, I'd take him in the top five. And he's got his number. He just does. He's beaten him every year since 2018. He's beaten him four straight. I don't know. He's only played him four straight times.
Still.
But every time they face, including two damn Super Bowls, Andy wins. So kind of hard to be like, oh, no, here come the 49ers. I understand they're going there, but I just meant from a team perspective. I do view this as a test. And, of course, it's a test. 49ers are always a test. They have consistently been one of the best teams in the NFL the entire time. The Chiefs have consistently been one of the best teams in the NFL.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get to it. This takes us to Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
So authorities in Oregon had pulled over a stolen vehicle. While they pulled the vehicle over, they found more than just that it was stolen when they searched the vehicle. They found a bag labeled, not a bag full of drugs.
Okay. In the bag was?
Not a bag full of drugs was, in fact, full of drugs.
Putting that on the back, you then fill with drugs.
Along with scales, money, and a loaded handgun.
Damn.
Now, there's a photo, and if you're watching the video stream, I'll hold it up. It's not like it was a Ziploc. You know, it was not a bag where like they hand wrote it. It's actually a printed bag that says, definitely not a bag
like
full of drugs.
Like they ordered it on Etsy or something a couple of days before.
Uh-huh. So there was, in fact, drugs. I think specifically, methamphetamine, unlawful possession of methamphetamine, unauthorized use of a vehicle in possession of a stolen vehicle. They were booked on charges, but prosecutors later said they would not be bringing charges against one of the women involved. I don't know why, but anyway. My question, honestly, and someone that's listening, I know we've got multiple law enforcement individuals that listen to the show at times. I would love to get your advice on this. Tell me, now they searched the vehicle because they found out the car was stolen, so that gave them probable cause, my understanding. I'm saying, though, if I was just driving down the street
and you had a bag that said not a bag full of drugs,
and I was speeding, and I had the same bag that said definitely not a bag full of drugs, and that bag was in plain sight next to me, and you saw that, would that give you probable cause? I think no, but you tell me. And by the way, there would not be any drugs in said bag. Does a bag saying not a bag full of drugs give you suspicion enough?
It says not a bag full of drugs. I know. How could that give you probable cause?
My guess is no. You can't just search the vehicle.
You have to be suspicious. There's.
I mean, they might ask to search your vehicle. But remember, like if it's a traffic stop, you don't have to consent to the search of your vehicle.
There's no way that if you put a bag in your passenger seat that says, this is not drugs. There's no drugs in
what
here.
What if it says these are drugs?
Yeah, definitely a bag of drugs is what the bag says all of a sudden.
By the way, it is way more likely that a bag that says definitely not a bag full of drugs has drugs in it.
100%.
Than if you had a bag that said this is full of drugs, no chance it has anything in it. Just so you know.
I think so.
You look far more guilty with the bag that says definitely not a bag full of drugs.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, what would you put in your bag? Like, if you had that in your car, what would it have?
Cheddar, mozzarella, Havarti, cream cheese, Colby Jack. And I say Gruyere, blue.
Yeah, I'm not talking about cheeses, Cody.
Definitely
we're talking
not
about
a bag
drugs.
Full of drugs.
Multiple texts. Someone says 12-year been a police officer for 12 years. The answer is no. not enough just to see the bag that says this is not a bag of drugs.
Now, don't steal a car and then have
a
bag full of drugs.
If the car is stolen, they can search everything in that vehicle.
Yeah, you don't get to be like, well, no, sir, I don't want you to. I told you, right, when I got pulled over from Colorado, they asked if they could search my car. My answer could have been no.
Yeah,
I could have said, nah, I'm all good. I'm not, I know I'm innocent, so I don't really care, but,
gold.
Fishing
Cody,
expedition.
Cody, do you want to be the person to test this out today? Do you want to have a... Do you want
and
to
get pulled
bag?
Over?
Yeah.
I got to intentionally get pulled over?
Do you want to have a bag in your passenger seat that says... What? I'm not saying that, but
how is he getting pulled over?
I don't know. There's got to be.
You can't just have a sign on the back. Please pull me over.
When's the last time that you got a ticket?
No, Cody said he's never got a speeding ticket.
Okay, the last time I got a ticket was for a no left turn 12 years ago.
Okay, if you're going 12 over, they're not going to give you a ticket. They're just going to give you a warning anyways. But you need to test this. I think you need to test this out.
I've been pulled over for speeding once.
Yeah, my last.
But I wasn't going that fast, and then they just kind of let me go.
Last time I was pulled over and also was handed a speeding ticket, I've told you it was 2016, 17? No,
wow,
2017. I was driving from Boise, Idaho to Las Vegas. We were doing a remote in Vegas. We were driving, not the station vehicle. We were in the middle of nowhere, desert, Nevada. I mean, I'm talking middle of nowhere. And I definitely was speeding. And a sheriff from a small town was driving on the other way. And all of a sudden, he flipped a U-ey. And I was like, well, here we go. The annoying thing about that ticket, I told you, was... You
couldn't pay it online.
I had to. Yeah, you couldn't pay it online. I had an overnight, like a cashier's check. Like,
oh, that sucks.
It was a pain in the ass to pay. Anyway, but that was the last.
When was the last one you
knock
got?
Knock on wood. Ticket.
The last ticket I got. It's been a while actually. Thankfully, I've been pulled over though for speeding. I've been just been given warnings. The last time I was pulled over, I told you one of the last times was I was in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And they asked me to get out of the car and were asking me questions about my wife while I was in the.
Yeah,
cop's car.
That's right.
And I was like, dude, I was just getting. So the reason I got pulled over is I was hugging the yellow line because there was a semi. It's windy in Oklahoma. There was a semi that was getting over the and into my lane. He was swerving a little because the wind was moving his trailer around. I was hugging the line to make sure that he didn't hit my car.
Still weird to put you in two different cars and then ask.
We have brought this up.
Very dumb.
They just think, I don't know. That seems a little.
There's more to it that I'm sure. There's more to it.
I think it's a tale as old as time on that.
I was
want to ask me my assumption? Tale as old as time.
I had to do my best at actually not getting angry. I was very irritated.
That is the trash of the day.
It doesn't happen very often.
But I think I've found what gift to give Cody for the holidays this year when we do our gift exchange.
Right.
Not a bag full of drugs bag just for you to have in your car. Then your kids can find the bag and they'll really want to know what the hell you're
Both
doing.
Both my kids can read. So
yeah, that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Well, like
Dad, why do you have a bag that says not a bag full of drugs in your vehicle? Up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. One thing that Roger Goodell said when he was in London this weekend, I don't like it one bit. I'll tell you why.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Coming up in about 25 minutes, we'll be joined by the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. Get his perspective on how he would really characterize this 2024 season. And of course, looking ahead, do they expect to have some of that same flexibility payroll wise? They spent, what, $111 million in the offseason?
I think they should do it again.
Brought back in Michael Wacha and brought in Seth Lugo. And so how does that look? And yeah, we'll ask him specifically about Michael Wacha. What do they expect to have happen with the opt-out situation and get some clarification on a few things there. So JJ Piccolo is going to join us here in 25 minutes on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan.
It'll be interesting to talk to JJ, obviously, across the board because of where the team is and where they kind of headed this offseason. First time they've had a playoff offseason in a long time. Yesterday, Drew had mentioned something that Roger Goodell had said, and I think it sent us both over the edge. Roger Goodell had said that overseas Super Bowls are once again possible. Hell, I borderline think in this quote, he made it sound likely to be something that will eventually happen. This is the dumbest thing the NFL has ever done. I understand it's all for a buck, but can we just draw a line somewhere? This is America's sport.
So
the hell are we shipping it for?
The quote from Roger Goodell was given to the Associated Press. Quote, we've always traditionally tried to play a Super Bowl in NFL city. That was always sort of a reward for cities that have NFL franchises. But things change. It wouldn't surprise me at all if that happens one day when he was asked if the Super Bowl would be played internationally. And as you said, we all know why they're playing games internationally right now. Whether it's in London or Germany or Brazil, and reports are maybe Ireland coming up for the Steelers in the next year or two. We all know why they're doing it. It expands the game. There's financial benefit. All that makes sense. But I'm with you where it's like, hey, it's fine to play international regular season games. We've just all just come to understand that, even though people push back at the time. But the Super Bowl is one of the things you just don't touch. You don't touch the Super Bowl. It is America's most popular event. You don't take that out of the country. Sorry. You just simply don't do that. and not to mention the time zone stuff. We know right now when they play in London, it's like, what, 4 in the afternoon or 2:30 in the afternoon there, and it's 8:30 here. So we're going to have a Super Bowl at noon. And I know you're like, well, that doesn't sound too bad. I'm ready to go at noon. Yeah, but I think part of the fun of Super Bowl Sunday is you have people over. You have the
build-up,
the anticipation. Yeah, everybody's got their spread. Maybe it's wings, whatever it may be. You're barbecuing. All that is part. It becomes an entire day in this country. Moving it to London or any other international city, I think, is a terrible idea for the sports fan. But if Roger Goodell thinks that there's a chance to make even more money off the Super Bowl in 2028 or whatever it would be because it's in London, then yeah, I think one day they're going to get there. I hope it's not anytime soon. I hope it's something that we're talking about like 10 years from now.
Playing games there internationally makes sense. Someone says we want the sport to grow.
Sure.
If football in other countries, that means a piece of America is in that country. But when you look at it, the game, sure. But I'll just tell you right now, the Euro finals or the Premier League championship game, that's not going to be in New York. That's going to be in the countries that host these things. If you start taking it overseas, I think this would be the same as, let's just saying like, you know what? This year, we're not celebrating the 4th of July in America. We're going to Britain to do it. This is stupid.
Okay. Yeah,
this is a massively popular sport in this country. You want it to grow in other countries, that's fine. You cannot move the Super Bowl. It is the only uniquely sport to this country. Moving its championship game to another country is stupid.
I think one day it's going to happen. I'm just hoping it's the next available date they haven't already assigned for the Super Bowl is 2028, I believe. I hope it's not that soon, but I think we recognize where this is trending. Like at some point in the next 10-ish years, the Super Bowl is going to be in an international city. And I think there's, for some fans, you guys tell us, 913-586-7965 on the text line, or you can call in. I get the sense from some people, they're like, hey, I'm never able to go to a Super Bowl anyway, and so there's some that don't care because they're like, it's too expensive.
Where the game is doesn't impact
They're not going anyway because it is very, very expensive. The only reason why we have gone, we were very, very fortunate, is because what we do for a living. Otherwise, there's no chance I would ever be able to afford to go to a Super
not
Bowl.
Not unless I went back in time and got a different job that paid a lot more money.
I think it does affect you, though.
But the time zone thing is a real problem here.
Yeah. I mean, because if you think, okay, when will they want to play it in London, I think, would be the big question. Because if they want to play it at that 3:30 time slot, like they have been doing it, that game is at 9:30 in the morning. If they want to play it as an afternoon Super Bowl in London, that's 9:30 for us.
Yeah, you can't have this thing at noon or 10 a.m.
If you want it at night in London, it's noon or it's 1 o'clock here in Kansas City. So I think you start to, and that's if you go to London. I mean, if you go to Australia, obviously it's totally.
My guess is Saturday
night Super Bowl. That's way down the road. South America.
Everybody
would be
keeps
far more
mentioning
likely.
Australia. They haven't even played an NFL game there recently, so it would be London or Germany before they would play a Super Bowl.
Or like Mexico City, where you wouldn't even technically have to change the time zones in order to make it international. It could still be on at the same time.
That might piss people off even more.
Like
putting it in Mexico. I'll just be honest.
It's not the country for me. This isn't trying to sound like xenophobic. It's not the country
part.
I don't care if it's Europe or Mexico or South. I just don't want it in another country.
I hear you.
The teams who own these sports franchises should have a chance to host these Super Bowls. It is a massive benefit of owning a sports franchise. It is one of the ways that people dangle the carrot to get new stadiums built. It is an argument arm. It's also just, it's this country's sport. No other country would transplant their championship game to a different country. If there was, you know, I think like all the different countries in Europe and other parts of the world, like Africa has its own continent-wide soccer tournament. They wouldn't put that tournament in the United States, the championship game. No, you keep it in the country of the sport that it belongs in. That's what it is. It's not this. It's just like you don't move countries on the sport.
Someone brought up a fair point. Like if we, let's say fast forward 10, 15 years from now, if the NFL ever does have international teams, then there's a stronger argument at that point. And I know people are against that idea as
They do, but the first Super Bowl would be in London.
Yeah, like if all of a sudden they added four teams in London and Munich and Frankfurt, etc.
That year the Super Bowl would be overseas.
Then that, at least I would understand to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But otherwise, right now, no, it's absolutely ridiculous. And you're right, like it's not country specific. I do think some countries would piss people off more than others for other non-football reasons.
It's not about the country. It's just I don't want it moved overseas.
It should be in the United States of America. The Super Bowl belongs in the United States. All right, 913-586-7965. We've got Brian in OP. Brian, what's going on? You're on Cody and Gold.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First time caller.
Thanks,
listened
man.
For a long time. Hey, I totally agree. I just turned the radio on, headed to work, but I totally agree. I don't mind during the season. It's great for popularity, money-wise, but at the end of the day, it's an American sport. They don't even call it football. They call that soccer most places. But anyways, I just wanted to give my input and say the Super Bowl should always be in America, no matter what, and we need to get one in Kansas City. Thanks for letting me call.
There you go. That's Brian in OP.
I feel like I'm turning into
5867965.
I feel like I'm turning like the flag. America! I'll never! What? You know, like, I
don't mess with our Super Bowl, man. Yeah. Don't mess with our Super Bowl.
I like, you know? And I am so rarely that guy, so it feels kind of weird.
You're wearing jorts and an American flag vest.
It's, yeah, man. I feel like with giant mutton chops, I just like, this feels weird to sell out for this. Honestly, you know what it is? It feels like a half step towards turning into like FIFA where you're like, sure, Dubai, we'll take $1 billion to put the Super Bowl there. Like a half step away from just straight up taking a bribe to put it in the country that will pay the most to have it. And that sucks. That was bad for that sport. It was bad for international soccer. I think it'd be bad for the sport of football. Like, if you love the sport and you want to grow it internationally, put games over there. I get it. I really do.
They're going to keep doing that. He wants to have Roger Goodell.
I get that. I do.
Roger Goodell reportedly at some point won 16 international games. Like, everybody would play an international game every year. That is, I don't know if it's happening in 5 years or, again, 10, 15 years, but that's been reported for a while, that the thought is that eventually everybody every year will play one international game. That's a huge step anyway, but let's do that before we actually think about moving the Super Bowl to
another country. I do think you're right, Gold, where we're going to see expansion. Expansion's got to happen first before it makes sense to even have one in London or wherever the case is. I mean, if you wouldn't just add one expansion franchise, though, right? Because I feel like it would make sense for you to add four teams and make a division.
That waters down the league. Yeah. We already have bad offensive line and quarterback play. Yeah.
I know it does, but I think that in order to have, if you have one international team, the travel would be insane for that one. It would be ridiculous for that one team.
It's just, you know what? We talk about it that way. It's kind of just like a Major League Baseball road trip. You just schedule the two international games back to back and you stay there. Like,
if they're on the road, then you get the double buys.
I'm not trying to make a huge deal about it. This is probably just like too inside industry, and I'll admit that now. Football coaches and players talk about travel in a way that makes no sense knowing what baseball, like Andy Reid hates that he has to talk to the media three times a week. It blows his mind that three times a week he has to talk to, it's like, this is insane. You want me to talk three times and then a fourth after the game? Matt Cotrero has to talk to the media 12 times a week, 13 times, 15 times a week. It's an insane number. And then they're like, wait, you want me to I have to be gone for a whole week? Baseball players, hell, the Spurs used to go on like a 3-week road trip in the NBA. Baseball players go on 10, 12, 14-day road trips all the time. They have to get on a plane four different times and travel to four different cities across 16, you know, like, it ain't that big a deal. Like, traveling once ain't that big a deal. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're a football player and it feels like you got to travel too much. Not that big a deal. It's not that much travel. It's fine.
It's like 3 weeks of travel. Like, if you want to go on a road trip and it's 2 weeks.
They travel 10 times a year, man. They get on a plane 10 times a year. A baseball player might travel 40. Like, I'm just not kidding. They might be on three times more plane flights a year than a football player.
I know, but the time that you're gone, doesn't it equal? Like, if you have a 8-game road trip in baseball and
you're gone for 8 days. If you travel to London, you're gone for 8 days.
But if you have a 2-week NFL road trip, you're gone for 14 days.
Yeah, and every other time, you're gone for two. Every other time of the year, except for that one, you're gone Saturday and Sunday. That's it. So every other time of the year, you're gone for 2 days. One time, they make you gone for 8 days. I'm like, I can't believe this. I can't travel that. The travel to me is nothing. It's just about the Super Bowl should be in the United States. It makes sense. That's where this sport is king. Feels moving it out doesn't make sense. That's all.
Do you think it happens in 2028? I think we're still further than that away.
I think it's in my lifetime, though.
The 2030s.
That sounds like a fake number. The 2030s?
In the 2030s.
Yeah. It's not even that long from now, sounds like a fake.
2025 is a couple months away.
I know. But I don't like the sound of the 2030s.
If it happens in 10 years, in 2035, is that within 10 years?
I think that's a real possibility, yeah. That both happened, that a Super Bowl is there and international.
I do feel like the first one has to be in London, right? It only makes sense.
That's where they started playing the international games. it's also just, you just talk, I mean, it's not going to be Sao Paulo, Brazil, okay, as the first Super Bowl internationally. It's not going to be there.
It'll be London.
London's the one place internationally where they haven't had issues with the field.
It's one of the 10 biggest cities in the world from like people know it sake, right? Not population wise, but just like name 10 big cities across the world.
London or Munich.
New York
or something,
and London, like, and Tokyo and all the ones that you would know. But yeah, it would probably be in London. Meanwhile, the Chiefs actually do something to make the Super Bowl again this year. They've won back to back. So then we're stuck in the same world. Andy Reid yesterday, I thought, tipped his hand. Let's talk about potential, how quickly we think this deal's going to be made. Because yesterday, when asking whether or not familiarity matters when trading for players, Andy Reid let it slip that they're clearly going to trade for someone.
Yeah, man, I think it's probably what Adam was saying, too. Just I think that helped Juju and his situation coming back in and jumping in. It helped McCole coming back. But I'm not telling you other guys can't come in and help out. So I don't think that's an issue. It's just going to take them a little bit longer to figure it out and get on the same page with Pat and all those things. It won't be quite as what you've seen with these other guys that have been in it. But and I'm not saying that we need to bring anybody else in. You asked a question. I'm just saying that I'm answering your question on that, man.
I just love how guilty he sounds at the end. Like, well, you asked. I was just talking about damn it. He's like, I gave too much away. And he's like, familiarity, sure, it helps because Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, Jody Fortson. I don't think it's an accident that the Chiefs have continuously targeted players who already know their system. So when you start a trade list for the Chiefs this year, you should 100% start that list with DeMarcus Robinson. They have a tell. They have a tradition. Last year, they could have traded. They needed a wide receiver last year. Million wide receivers you can trade for just like any other year. Who do they trade for? Mecole Hardman. The guy who already was in their system before. This year, they need another tight end. You don't think there are other tight ends on the street? Jody Fortson. This year, right before training, they could get any wide receiver who's a free... Juju Smith-Schuster. They go after the guys who know the system because it's easier to incorporate them now. So if I'm starting a trade target list for the Chiefs and who I think they're going to get, I just assume it's DeMarcus Robinson at this point. Maybe it is Darius Slayton if the Giants lose some more games. Maybe it is Deontay Johnson. There's some other names I would certainly be if not more, interested in. I just feel like realistically he might end up being a former Chief.
They definitely like the familiarity, and it makes sense why it has worked out. And we've seen two recent cases in Juju Smith-Schuster and Kareem Hunt and the early return of their return to Kansas City.
Sure.
But at the same time, I'll be honest, that list of wide receivers that have familiarity with Kansas City, that list sucks because Tyreek Hill's not getting traded.
That conversation also is going to include the name Tyreek Hill. You don't even put it at a 0.1% chance. You're at
0.000089 or something. Okay, how about that?
Wow. That's a pretty low number.
It is.
There's a lot of zeros.
So it's DeMarcus Robinson's, the Byron Pringles of the world. That are out there.
That would feel so. The only one who wouldn't feel completely lackluster is
Sammy Watkins up to. You know, like that. That's the kind of.
I know we say they don't have to but Kansas City's been doing this. This is where the weird crossover.
Marcus Robinson, does he know how to run forward yet? Has that been fixed?
I bet, you know, McVay's a very good coach.
Yeah.
Are you sure he hasn't coached
that out? If he runs forward, I'm interested. If he still runs backwards, it's an automatic no.
DeMarcus Robinson has he has more receiving yardage this year than Xavier Worthy. He had 371 the year before, 458 the year before that with the Ravens. In Kansas City, his best years were 466 and 449. Do you know what he is? He's a 400 to 500 yard wide receiver. Is that going to excite you if the Chiefs trade for him? No. Does that make them better? Yes. Because the options that DeMarcus Robinson would be replacing are not consistent enough wide receivers to think that they are a 400 to 500 yard guy. They're just not. Because they are Sky Moore, who's never done that. McCole, who hasn't done that in a few years. And doesn't seem like they're trusting him the same way they trusted him the first time he was in Kansas City. So, I still got some questions there. then it's like the unproven guys, right? We just don't really know where Xavier Worthy is. Justin Watson's never really consistently been a 400 or 500 yard receiver. He's just, he's an upgrade. He's not a massive upgrade, but he's an upgrade, like it or not.
I hear you. I mean, I think Darius Slade and Deontay Johnson, Amari Cooper are much higher on the list for me, but we'll see how this plays out. I'll caution people just because last year, everybody thought all these receivers were getting traded and only like one did. We've already seen one traded this year. Davante Adams, if you're just joining us and you missed it, the news this morning, of course, Davante Adams got traded to the Jets. I think we'll see wide receiver movement. I'll be curious to see if the Chiefs are players in the Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins type of market financially and everything. But yeah, I mean, DeMarcus Robinson will be a name to keep an eye on. It depends what the Rams do the next month. It's 3 weeks before November 5th. And is Puka back and healthy for them so they feel like they don't need to D-Rob? Is Cooper Kupp? Looks like Cooper Kupp is closer to coming back than Puka is. It could be late November or mid-November, I guess, for Puka. So we'll see. I think all that definitely comes into play. I mean, some people on the text line are bringing out, I don't know if they're being sarcastic or not. Someone said Albert Wilson. Guys, he hasn't played in 3 years. He last caught a football.
He last caught
an NFL pass in 2021. I hope we're being sarcastic.
It says, stop, Cody. We need a number one wide receiver. I don't disagree with that sentiment.
Amari
I'm just
Cooper
telling
might
you,
be the only guy that fits that bill anyway.
That's it. There are no, just like number one wide receivers are not just on the street. They're just not. I know a Davante Adams just got traded. That is a very special circumstance. Other than that, those guys usually get traded in the offseason. Number one, I've said this. My prevailing theory is that big-time wide receivers get traded every offseason now for the foreseeable future. That has been the case 3 years in a row, and it's going to continue to be the case. Don't be surprised by some other big-name wide receiver getting traded in the offseason.
Well, Higgins is going to get tagged and traded, right? Isn't that what's going to happen?
They can't even tag. That'd be a double tag.
Did he get tagged again?
He was tagged last year.
Did he actually get tagged this year, or was this his final year?
This is his first year being tagged.
Yeah, they're not going to double tag. They're not going to double tag.
The price tag's too prohibitive.
So though so I'm just trying to think to answer your question, your theory of another receiver getting traded in the offseason. I was trying to think, who would that be this offseason? Hell, it could be Davante Adams again. it could be him again if things fall apart.
Maybe.
Calvin Ridley is interesting. It's stunning. Real quick on that. So Calvin Ridley signed for a massive contract in Tennessee. And then he's stunned when the team he's on sucks and they don't get him the football. Well, you knew Will Levis was your quarterback when you signed there. It's all right. You signed because they're paying you a lot of money. Yeah. No fault there.
The worst part about
it, don't be surprised when your team sucks. And he was complaining the other day that they're not getting him the football.
No, the worst part about it is he had 8 targets in the game and had 0 catches. He didn't catch. He had 8 targets. And he said, give me the effing ball earlier in the game. That's what he wanted. He wanted the ball earlier.
It's not
later.
Like they're not trying to get it to you. He can't. Could sign anywhere, Calvin. You chose Tennessee.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
It's his own fault.
Up next, let's talk some Royals baseball. The general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo, is going to join us. We'll ask him how he would characterize this 2024 season and what is the plan with the payroll perhaps this offseason. Could it be similar to last offseason? That's next.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.